If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business, especially in today's economy. But over 31,000 businesses do know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, August 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. For quite a while after Apple launched its payment system, Apple Pay, Wall Street analysts and consumers were skeptical that it would ever truly live up to its goal of replacing the wallet. But 8 years later, Apple's bet finally seems to be paying off. So what can Apple's slow and steady progress toward payment supremacy teach the rest of the tech world? On today's show, WSJ Science of Success columnist Ben Cohen joins us to discuss how Apple shirked the move fast and break things culture of Silicon Valley, and won. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively, Instacart saw orders and revenue grow in the second quarter as consumers continued to order groceries despite rising prices and stores reopening. Orders in the app climbed 25% from a year earlier to more than 60 million, according to people familiar with the matter. Investors say that helped drive revenue up by 39% from a year earlier to $621 million. It's a positive sign for Instacart, which is preparing to go public possibly as soon as later this year. Metals like cobalt that are used in electric vehicle batteries are in high demand. And to get at them, some companies want to go searching on the ocean floor. WSJ Pro sustainable business reporter Yusuf Khan says companies could start mining the deep sea within the next year.
There's these massive deposits of deep sea minerals in the deep ocean, places like the Pacific Ocean, and they contain a lot of battery metals, things like cobalt, things like lithium, manganese, nickel, and they're going to be really crucial into the energy transition and, you know, especially towards electric cars. You know, we see all of these minerals within our phones and our batteries already, you know, they'll be used every day by everyone pretty much on the planet.
You can hear more from Yusuf about deep sea mining and its environmental impact on this morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? And the art world is turning to artificial intelligence to do a lot more these days, from creating new and sometimes slightly weird images to helping restore lost treasures. For example, art historians working with Google Arts and Culture Lab used AI to recolorize three important paintings by Austrian artist Gustav Klimt. They were destroyed in a fire after World War II. Emil Wallner was part of the team that helped develop the algorithm and explains how AI is able to help scholars and artists in the recolorization process.
It creates a statistical model so you can make educated guesses about areas where you don't have any information. And the other part is that you can iterate fast. So it can generate colorization in a few seconds. And from there, you can look at the details and look at the literature. But if you're doing that process manually, I mean, it can take hours or even days to create just one colorization.
You can hear more about how they did it and the other ways AI is being used in the art world on the latest episode of the WSJ's Future of Everything podcast. It's out now. All right, coming up, it may have taken longer than Apple wanted, but it seems like the iPhone has finally started to replace many people's wallets. We'll discuss after the break.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business, especially in today's economy. But over 31,000 businesses do know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Back in 2014, a week after Apple launched its new contactless payment system, Apple Pay, CEO Tim Cook spoke at the Wall Street Journal's big annual tech conference, where he was asked about reports that some big-name U.S. retailers were refusing to accept Apple Pay. Cook characterized the standoff with the retailers as a skirmish and struck a positive tone about Apple Pay's future.
Now, we've got a lot more to go. We've got a lot of merchants to sign up. We've got a lot more banks to sign up. And we have the whole rest of the world. We're only in the U.S. right now. And so we're just getting started, but the early ramp looks fantastic, and I'm getting...
That sunny outlook, well, it seems like it's finally come to pass, and it seems like everyone is using Apple Pay. It just took 8 years. With the speed that tech typically moves, that duration and the steadfast belief that a product will live up to its goals despite initially slow adoption is rare. Joining us to discuss what Apple's endurance can teach the tech world is Ben Cohen, the WSJ's Science of Success columnist. Hi, Ben. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So plot this course for us that Apple took from, you know, its launch to now. How did it increase usership of Apple Pay when it looked like in the beginning this wasn't really going to happen for it?
Yeah, in the beginning, Apple Pay was sort of widely dismissed and almost mocked. I mean, no one really thought that it would be a success. And for a very long time, it wasn't. So Apple Pay was introduced in 2014. By 2016, only 10% of iPhones had activated Apple Pay. By 2017, that number was only 20%. And so 3 years into the service, by which time Tim Cook had already declared 2015 to be the year of Apple Pay, and in 2016 said that it was happening much faster than he anticipated, it really did not look like it was going to be a consumer hit. And yet, the adoption rate doubled the next year, and then it hit 50% by the start of the pandemic. And now the activation rate for Apple Pay on iPhones is around 75%.
Yeah, it's interesting because Tim Cook and Apple seem to have so much faith that Apple Pay was going to pay off for it. But how did it get that kind of adoption when it looked like it was moving so slowly? How did they get to a 75% activation rate?
So there were a few things. The first is that they were very, very annoying. And sometimes pestering can help. So there was a while when if you hadn't activated Apple Pay, you would see this little red bubble on your iPhone that you wanted to, you know, get rid of. And so people started adding their credit cards and debit cards to the Apple Wallet just so they would have a cleaner iPhone to look at. But that was one thing. But the real thing was that they needed the rest of the world, and especially the United States, to catch up to their vision of the future. So when Apple Pay was introduced, only about 3% of retailers and stores in the United States had the technological infrastructure for contactless payments. So if you tried to use Apple Pay, you wouldn't have been able to in the beginning. That number is now 90%, Apple says. So some of it was waiting for stores to get there, and the rest of it was humans and human behavior had to change. So when Apple looked at the rest of the world and the way that Europe especially used contactless payments, they saw that they were several years ahead of the United States. And that gave them confidence that Americans weren't so different from the rest of the world. It would just take a little bit of time to catch up. And then the last thing that happened that really accelerated the growth of Apple Pay and changed its trajectory was the pandemic. And, you know, there was a time when people did not want to hand their cards over to cashiers or stick their credit cards into terminals. And just being able to hold your phone near a reader was a much more preferable option.
How did they get the stores on board? How did they start getting more places to accept Apple Pay?
In part because more people wanted to use Apple Pay, right? You know, some of it was just time for stores to upgrade their own technological infrastructures and add contactless terminals. So this was never going to happen overnight. And I think Apple knew that. And, you know, sometimes it can be hard for companies to stay patient. But, you know, the long game is an indulgence that the world's richest corporation could afford, right? Like if there were anyone that could afford to be patient, it was Apple. And I think this is sort of a case study in how valuable that patience can be in business sometimes.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, why did Apple even stick with this to get Apple Pay kind of to this level in the first place?
For one thing, you know, they had data from other parts of the world that suggested it was going to work, even if it wasn't quite working in the United States already. But the second thing is that this is not just about how we spend money in restaurants or at stores, right? I mean, Apple is really trying to make the physical wallet obsolete. They want your phone to replace the wallet. And that means putting credit cards on your phone. It means putting your driver's license and ID and insurance cards on your phone. I mean, there is research that human beings would rather leave home without their wallets than without their phones. And if Apple can come up with a service like this that makes the iPhone more useful and more valuable, that is just, you know, incredibly beneficial to their bottom line.
Is this something, though, that another company could have pulled off? I mean, you called it an indulgence. Tech is known for kind of that move fast and break things culture. So could other companies afford to wait around for a new technology or for consumer habits to change?
Probably not, right? And not just wait around for consumer habits to change, but make those consumer habits change. Like have the market power and the sheer force of will to kind of bend human behavior to their favor. But I think it's worth keeping patience in mind because I think that moving fast and breaking things has become, like, for a while, it was so popular among tech companies and that kind of ethos trickled down to all sectors of society. And I think that, you know, patience is kind of undervalued.
All right, that's WSJ Science of Success columnist Ben Cohen. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you're looking for more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
BuySide from The Wall Street Journal is a new website dedicated to helping readers make smart decisions about how to spend their time and money. For picks that are reviewed, rated, and ready to click, go to wsj.com/buyside.